for your right to party!
You're listening to the Arrowhead Live Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby!
Welcome to the aftermath, Chiefs Kingdom. Anytime someone comes up to you, if you're a Chiefs fan, make sure they call you a three-time, I repeat, three-time Super Bowl champs, baby. Chris, how are we doing on another glorious springtime, sunshine, and KC Victory Monday, my friend?
Springtime, and it's still February, man. This is crazy, but I love the intro season. CJ, three-time Super Bowl champs.
Three-time, baby.
Only been around for two of them, you and I. You know, we're on the young side a little
bit. Not out Lynn Dawson. It still counts, baby.
But, hey, this is where the magic happens now. This is where the process begins on getting back to, you know, maybe picking up that fourth Super Bowl.
Hey, we're having visuals coming soon, but if you could see me and Chris are wearing this beautiful, lovely, amazing championship gear with that beautiful Super Bowl 57 logo. As you can see, I expect everyone to be at the draft April 27th in Kansas City, wearing that Super Bowl gear, all the hats, shirts, hoodies, rock it all, people. We have a lot to be proud of and a lot to look forward to, like my man Chris just said.
And shout out to CJ for sending me this nice Super Bowl gear right here.
We're all just winners. Hooked
me up out here, down here in Oklahoma, you know, can't always have the direct access, but CJ hooked me up, so appreciate that, my man.
Hey, winner circle only, Chris.
I don't look good in many things, but, you know, I feel like I kind of pulled this off, so here we go.
Hey, I grabbed the hoodie. It's one of my favorite items. I rocked it for like a week straight. Woo. I didn't take it off. It's like one of my favorite things.
There you go. Too hot for hoodies now, right?
Hey, gotta get another one now. You never know with KC weather, man. It jumps up and down. It'd be like 60 degrees, 31 day. It jumps up and down. You never know.
It's just crazy. That's part of beauty of the Midwest. But
absolutely,
let's just get into it. We're going to talk about the draft eventually here, but we're going to start with the free agents. Chiefs got a lot of notable players hitting the free agency market, and I think the best way to do it is we'll just run down the list. We can have a little discussion on initial where your head's at and what you ultimately think the Chiefs are going to do.
Yeah, let's do it. Want to start with, the big name?
Let's start with Juju. I want to start with Juju just because that's, you know, an interesting position group, a wide receiver with some of the other things going on, and him being maybe the best free agent on the market. Like, kind of, what are you thinking when it comes to Juju coming back to Kansas City?
Juju Smith-Schuster is an unrestricted free agent, so he's definitely going to have his options. I've seen some rumor tweets around some other teams, like Carolina maybe interested in trying to get him. So, obviously, we know he's going to have a tough decision to make from him for his perspective. He's 26 now, so he'll be 27 going into next season. He could obviously – I think Juju pretty much knows any number that the Chiefs give him, Chris, is going to be different than a number from another team who's probably more wide receiver needy or maybe, like, desperate to get a veteran guy in the building to help their young guys out. From where the Chiefs' standpoint is right now, we have – obviously, we know we have multiple draft picks. We're in the 11 to 12 range right now, depending on how we stand. I don't think we'll use that many picks. I think it may end up honestly being 9 or 10 by the time we get to the end of the draft, because I think Beach will probably move up a couple times. So if you're Juju Smith-Schuster, do you want to take less money to stay here in Kansas City? It's the same question we had before the season started. Or do you want to take more money to go somewhere and not necessarily be on a top championship contender from Juju's perspective?
Yeah, I think Juju's going to – it's really – you hit on it there. It comes down to, does Juju want to spend – make more money and go to somewhere – where he may not have as good of a chance to win a championship, or does he want to take a little bit of a pay cut to stay in Kansas City and, you know, try to go back to back, or at least, you know, potentially see those numbers increase playing with a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes? And I really think that Juju's, it's a tough decision. You know, most guys want their money, and that's what they should do. Go get the bag.
Yep.
Go get the bag. But at the same time, Juju's got a lot of other things going on for him. You know, he's got his own brand. He's got his own
Twitch stream. Got a lot of endorsements off the field.
Exactly. So, like, maybe he's one of those guys that's in that situation to where he can take, you know, take a year off and take a couple million off of maybe what he'd get at a Carolina or somewhere like that, and come back and really secure his spot as the number one receiver in Kansas City.
No, absolutely. When Juju had a great year, 900-plus yards, really would have been 1,000 if – we know he missed a game due to injury and the concussions and everything. So he produced in his role in first year here with Pat Mahomes in this offense. So another offseason with Andy, another offseason, the guys to get used to him, what he likes to do. what he doesn't like to do, his strengths and weaknesses, and another offseason of just having chemistry and the ultimate confidence with this team playing in the biggest moment in the biggest game of the year in the Super Bowl and playing well in those moments. So there's nothing more you could ask from Juju from what he did for us last year. So he could only get better if he decided to come back to Kansas City. So I'm with you, Chris. If he decides to come back, I would love to have him at a good rate. A number I would probably throw around would probably be something similar to the range of what MVS is getting. I think MVS is, what, 3 for 30? That's what we got him on a deal on currently.
Mm-hmm.
So if Juju wanted to take something around that area, I'll be very happy with that. And obviously, it's a decision for him and his family, and it's a big decision for sure. And people have to be realistic with these players. We want them to come back. We want everyone to obviously run it back, try to have a chance to go back-to-back. But at the same time, we have to also be conscious fans and know that everyone is not capable of coming back at the numbers that they may necessarily want from them and their agents and their representation. So, Juju is definitely going to be the big one to keep an eye on, but there's definitely some other guys to keep an eye on as well, Chris.
Yeah, and with Juju, like, the market value is around, I'm seeing a lot of, like, 4 years for 60. Around that is what they think.
Yeah, like 14, 15.
And I'm getting a lot of my numbers for SportsTrack, which is a website that you could go to. They do a great job of breaking down current contracts, projected contracts, like markets. You know, they're not perfect, but it's a great starting point and always a good reference. So 4 for 60. So, I think Juju could get, with Kansas City, 3 for 36, you know, that's a 12 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about the range I want him in. Any more than that, then I'm going to let him walk probably if they can't come to that.
I agree.
But definitely someone that I would definitely welcome back with open arms. But let's talk to the other big guy. I think there's 1A and 1B, and 1B is OBJ, Orlando Brown Jr.
OBJ.
And kind of what's the situation there? What should the Chiefs do with OBJ, CJ?
Another young guy. He's 26, man. So he's going to be 27 as well going into next season. Orlando Brown Jr., this year, I think if we're being honest with Orlando's play, he wasn't elite. Like, if you would have said, like, is he a top 7, top 8 tackle? I don't think he was that this year. But was he like a bottom 10 tackle? I don't think he was that bad either. I think overall, we were frustrated at the beginning of the year. And obviously, he would have critiqued this game the same as well. But by the midpoint through the season, towards the end of the year, and definitely when it came to Super Bowl for the biggest moments, Orlando showed up, man. He played very good ball for us towards the end of the year, especially in the run game and in the pass game as well, giving Pat some time and giving Pat time to trust that ankle and to trust to step up in the pocket. So I think Orlando's in the same type of tier. He's a guy that, obviously, we want him back, but obviously it has to be at a certain number. And he's the guy that's obviously going to be eligible for that tag. And given the fact there's two type of tags for our fans listening, there's the exclusive tag and the non-exclusive tag. And the difference is being when you're an exclusive tag, it means you can't negotiate with other teams. You can only negotiate with the team that put the tag on you. Non-exclusive allows you to negotiate with other teams on the market that are interested in your services. So I think more than likely, my perspective, I think he does get tagged. I'll let Chris give his answer what he thinks, but I think more than likely Orlando gets tagged. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a deal, but if I had to bet on which one happens, I think they probably use the tag on Orlando Brown Jr. this offseason.
Dude, I think he's getting the bag. I think he's getting money. Like, and part of it, there he had, so, you know, through the first part of the year, he was a very polarizing figure, like CJ mentioned. Like, you know, he had his ups and downs. He led in a lot of pressure categories, which is not something you want to lead in as a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But when it mattered most, dude, balled out. Yeah. He played well against Trey Hendrickson and that Bengals in the AFC Championship game. Played very well against a stout front in the Super Bowl against those Eagles. And, like, when you look around out there, they're – aren't really many other options. The Chiefs aren't in a position to really trade up and get a left tackle in the draft. And mm-hmm. if you do that, do you still really want a rookie like protecting Patrick Mahomes this year?
That's a tough
decision. So, like, you could tag him, wait a year and see, and, you know, try this all over again and see where you land. But the chances are you're probably going to be in a very similar situation.
Very true. That is true.
So pay him.
Yeah, I think you may have to. And I think the deal we had on pace right before camp or mini camp last year that we offered him, I think that was 4 years. And I think it was 24 per year. I'm going to get the exact number. But I think that's what we offered him last year. Obviously, it was the guaranteed money was the difference between his deal, between him and like Trent Williams mm-hmm. and other left tackles on the market. But I think if they offered him that deal again, he would take it. But obviously, like Chris said, the longer you wait, the number goes up. And given the fact how well Orlando played, the number's definitely going to go up. So, no, I agree with you, Chris. I think there's a real possibility he could get the deal. And I wouldn't be mad if we paid him because, like, when I think people don't realize, and I kind of had this conversation with one of my buddies on Twitter, people don't realize how hard it is to find a left tackle. Left tackles don't just grow on trees, just like quarterbacks don't. When you have a guy in your building, he may not be the best. He may not be elite. But if he's average to above average, you have to keep him, because the chances of you finding another starter in the draft are very unlikely, and you definitely don't want to take that chance with, like Chris just said, this is Mahomes' prime. He's going to be 27, 28 next year. You don't take a chance with a rookie left tackle when you have the best quarterback in football, and you have a chance to make a dynasty run and go on a back-to-back championship tour. So I'm with Chris. If there's a chance to lock up a deal and it works for both sides, I would love to do it. I would just think that maybe the tag is maybe a decision they could do if they decide to pay some other guys, which me and Chris will get into. But a contract is definitely something that could happen for sure.
Right, and some people have thrown out like the sign and trade or the tag and trade too, and it's like that just gets dicey too, because you have to take those picks that you receive and move up, and you're gonna have to trade up or trade for another left tackle like that's expiring, and so now you're getting 3-4 teams involved. Like,
it's a lot of moving parts when you
get of moving. I think the Chiefs like their team, and and you know, keeping Orlando Brown here when he knows it works. It may not be perfect, but they know it works.
Hey, facts.
Overpaying for that a little bit is kind of a position that they might find themselves in.
You kind of have to. It's the position. There's not that many. In my opinion, and we'll get into the draft guys later, there's only maybe two, Chris, maybe three tops, and I'm pushing it with three left tackles I could see starting in the NFL day one this year. There's not that many. Last year's class was really good for left tackle. There were like four. But this year, there's maybe two or three that I think could start day one, and you would have no questions about. So, to replace Orlando Brown Jr., if you decided to do that tag and trade, like I've seen and some people talk about on radio, if you're going to do that, you're basically telling yourself, we have to get in that top 15 to go get one of those tackles. You're not doing that with any of those tackles on the back end. At least I would hope they wouldn't do it, because there's none of these left tackles in this class outside of the top two, like Johnson and maybe Jones and obviously the kid from Northwestern. Those are the three kids that I like the most. I don't think any of them you would probably – if from a Chiefs fan perspective – I know Orlando's frustrating, but he played best when we needed him to. And if in a scenario where, Chris, if we were able to fix our right tackle position, because we know Wiley's not a full-time starter, if Wiley decided to move on or we decided to put Wiley back in the rotational position, if we got a legit young right tackle and you have 4 out of 5 good linemen, would you take that for the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%.
I would like that situation, because I think me and you and most Chiefs fans will agree we have the best guard-to-guard combo in the league. There's probably Philly, you could argue. I know Jason Kelce may not retire or not, but Garson or guard, I don't think there's a better thing than Joe, Creed, and Trey right now. So you can get a legit young right tackle to build on for the future and lock in Orlando on a 4-year deal. I would take that, Chris. So, no, I agree with you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just kind of where it comes down to. And honestly, this, along with the Chris Jones restructuring, which is technically not a free agent, but it's going to happen. Chris is going to get the bag, probably – 3 for 90, like that's about where it's gonna be. Yeah, he's gonna be getting 30 years. So once that domino drops and we figure out what that number is, and then once the number of OBJ drops, whether it's a franchise tag, long term extension, what trade, whatever the case may be, those really have to fall before we can accurately predict on what's going to happen in the free agency. Just because those are gonna have big cap hits and kind of
determine the
flexibility. But let's say Chris does get the 30 million a year, and let's say they tag Orlando, which I think is around 18 million a year. Let's just for this exercise. Let's run through a couple guys real quick, because those are the big ones. Juju, OBJ, and then Rim are the big moves.
Yep.
Juju. Jerick McKinnon, would you bring him back?
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Like,
I think he was only getting what? I think if I get his cap this year was 1.2 mil. So, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And I saw where Clyde is like going to be the 10th highest paid running back. And he's at like 3.5 million this year. He'll probably be traded. And so you can just swap him. Like,
absolutely.
Any trade you get for Clyde, for sure. Just give McKinnon the 3 million a year or whatever for a year or two.
Absolutely.
I'm with you too. That's a no brainer. We both think McColl's gone, right? Like, this has been a conversation for a long time. Ooh.
Before the injury, I would 100% agree with you. But given the circumstances, he missed, 10 weeks of football since the Tennessee game?
He had the surgery on a
limited snap count, surgery. He did have the surgery, and it did go well. So thoughts and prayers out to McColl. We're happy he's doing well. But given the injury history and given the fact you missed so many games, I don't know if McColl could. I'm not saying I hope he doesn't. I'm just saying just for projection. I don't know if he could pass a physical by the time you would put him on the trade block. So if you're another team's perspective, do you want to sign a guy who you don't know if he's 100% going to be ready by the time camp starts? So I think it may be in Mecole's best interest to probably end up coming back to KC on a one-year deal and then testing free agency next year, given the fact he missed so many games. Now, if he would have never got hurt and finished the season out, played well, got a Super Bowl ring, then obviously, yes, I think Mecole leaves and we would be happy with his services. But given the fact his situation, his injury history, and he missed so many games, I think he may end up coming back on a cheap deal, Chris.
Okay. I just think that the wide receiver market is too small, and Mecole has the skill set that people love, and that's
he is fast.
So, like, I think you could still see him get, you know, a $40 million deal. Nothing crazy to break the bank, but like more than the Chiefs aren't going to give him a long term deal. I think there's some teams that will overpay a little bit for this year, and so I think he's going to be gone. That's just my guess, but you know, if the offers aren't out there and he'll take a 1 for 8. You know, or something like that.
Nice,
I don't know the exact numbers that it would be, but something along those lines.
No, for sure. If
I wouldn't be mad about it, but that would mean Juju would have to be gone. I don't want both Juju and Mecole back.
I was just about to say that one of those guys is going to be off this roster if we decide to bring the other one back. And that's my thing with Mecole and Juju. I think they pretty much know, and I think any veteran knows whether you're on the Kansas City Chiefs roster or a guy that's maybe thinking about coming here via free agency. Outside of Pat, Trav, and CJ, those are going to be obviously our three highest paid players. Anyone else is probably knowing realistically, if you come to Kansas City, you're probably going to have to take a discount. That's just how this roster is built right now. That's how I see Veach envisioning this roster and Andy. We just won a Super Bowl with the most rookies starting in this modern era. So if you're another veteran wanting to join this team, you can know I'm not going to break the bank coming to Kansas City. I'm coming to Kansas City to possibly compete for another championship. And obviously, you know, you're going to have to probably take a discount to do that given the circumstances. So I think if you're a Mecole or a Juju, they pretty much know that too. And I'm sure Veach will have those conversations with them. And I would love to be on a fly on the wall to hear the numbers they're throwing out. But yeah, I think everybody, any vet knows you're not going to cash out when you come to Kansas City currently right now.
For sure. All right, I got two more real quick for you. Juan Thornhill. I think they bring him back.
I think they do too. I think they do.
Safety market's too big. Another year, maybe not. But there's like
Hoyer
and Bell and Bates and the Eagle safety, Gardner Johnson.
Yep.
Like, and there's a few guys I'm missing. Devin McCourty's out there, some older guys. Like,
I don't think
the demand is there to where it's really easy for the Chiefs just to give him, you know.
He's not the top of the
3-year deal.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
So I think Juan Thornhill will be back. And then last one that I wanted to have a real discussion is Andrew Wiley being a free agent. You letting him walk? You bringing him back for depth?
He's like 28. He'll be 29 next year. I would like to have him back for depth. I don't think I would want him to be my full-time starter again. I think if a team does offer him the chance to be a starter, I would thank him for his services and tell him good luck with what he wants to do. But I would love to have Wiley back. I just don't think I would bring him back and envisioning him being our long-term solution at right tackle. I love him to be a rotational guy to come in there for situations because you know injuries happen in football. Guys are going to miss a game here or there, but I would love to have him be that backup guy. Him and Allegretti were great for rotational guys and purposes. But if Wiley decides to move on and somebody offered, because he's projected, he made $2.5 million this past year. So if somebody wants to give him 5 or give him 6 based off the performance he had versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be mad at it at all. Like you just said, I would probably have to, and I envisioned us getting a new right tackle in this draft anyway. That was my goal. So if Wiley did decide to move on, I would be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I think he's gone just because I think he deserves more money than the Chiefs need to give him, especially if they lock up OBJ. You got 4 of your 5 offensive line locked down. You can get in the draft. You can sign another free agent. Like, you can figure it out.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So I'm okay with Wiley going. And then I'm about to name off all the other guys. I want you to pick 3 guys that you want back. More maybe, because these are some depth guys that I want you to pick your top 3. Between Derek Nnadi, Colin Saunders, Carlos Dunlap, Michael Burton, Justin Watson, Blake Bell, Nick Allegretti. There's 7 guys right there. What 3 would you like to see back the most?
Give me Colin Saunders for sure.
Yeah.
Give me Nick Allegretti.
Okay, so we're perfect there. Those are my 2. Those are my top 2. I go with those guys back.
We know them and they play well when we need them.
Dude, Allegretti is like I've never had a favorite 6 lineman, but I love Nick Allegretti. That's my dude.
My third would probably be who you say is out. Give me Carlos. I'll take Carlos Dunlap on a cheap veteran deal for sure. If he wants to come back, that veteran leadership is obviously something. And obviously, he's not going to be a lot of money. So, but that veteran leadership is, I think that's undeniable. Something you can have in his locker room. Him for George. And obviously, we draft another young edge in this draft. Having that veteran leadership, guys, to just help you learn the game faster than feeling physically, more so mentally. I like having Carlos Dunlap in his locker room for sure. At the right price, obviously.
Okay, so just to be different, I'm going to go with Burton because I do like having the fullback. I think it adds some even just wrinkles. Like, I know his usage isn't high, but just wrinkles and formations and things I think Andy really enjoys. And so having a fullback that has been in the system and knows, I think I think I'd lean with Dunlap, but I'm going to go Burton just so we have at least someone different than Allegretti and Saunders, who I'm okay with Nottie going because I think they need to change some things up.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, okay, last thing before we get into your draft talk.
Let's do it.
Do you have a free agent that you would really like to see the Chiefs sign? Mine's Ngakoue.
I'm not really interested in too many free agents this year because free agency isn't that great.
And you got a lot of drafts. You got a good team. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm not trying to bring in big guys, but if they're going to,
that'd be the one. I agree with you.
Bring in a DN.
That would be the one. He's an edge. I think he's only 27, 28. So he's
younger guy.
If we can give him like a nice 2-year deal, 3-year deal to get him out of here by the time he's 30. I would love Yannick Ngakoue at the right price, obviously. But
at
yes.
the right price. That's kind of my guy, too. You know, there's also the trade for DeAndre Hopkins talk, which we can maybe get into at some point. But, like,
he want to come for the low. He want to come join death row, Chris. Like, you know,
again, before we can even really discuss that crazy talk, you got to have the Chris Jones and OBJ
done. Got to get them done.
These other guys we can talk about because I think you can make the cap work regardless. Guys,
for sure.
But if you want to bring in D-Hop, if you want to bring in a pass rusher, if you want to bring in a new right tackle or something like that,
you're going to have to see
those two dominoes drop. Like,
those are the two.
And Chris Jones is 100% getting paid. Like, that's not
he gets a blank check. Twing is a blank check.
right. If OBJ, if they do something, then I'm all on board on bringing in some more talent.
Because you're
going to have to.
Absolutely.
All right, Mr. Draft Expert. Let's see. I know you've been cooking. You've been in the lab. Like, you've been looking at these guys. Kind of where's your head at for this draft? And who are some – let's start with the first round. That's, you know, the big – who would
I've done
you like
a lot
to
of simulations this time?
Pick 31. Who are you kind of your lead guys? Pick 31.
For your defending Super Bowl champs, people, might I add, the Chiefs should take, and it kind of depends on how the board falls. I have a couple scenarios in my head, Chris. The first obvious one, if we get to 31 and there's obviously an edge or a tackle that we like on the board, I would take them. And the edges that I like the most in this draft would be guys like Will McDonald from Iowa State. I think he's going to shoot up draft boards. He's really athletic. He's long. He has a good burst. He gets off the edge. His bend is solid, but his motor is really good. And I like his length. He kind of reminds me like of a young, like Carlos, like or a young Tom, but just like a really long guy. So I like him a lot. Another edge that I like is BJ Ojulari out of LSU, a guy that's really burstful, really fast. He's explosive off the edge. Not really a typical Spags guy, but I think if that kind of talent is sitting there at 31, if you're a Spags and you're Veach, you kind of have to get that. Because we always know we're known for having power rushers. But you need that guy that can just get off the edge and have that burst and beat tackles. So I like him a lot as well. And as far as the tackles sitting there at that area, there's three kinds that I like. In this right tackle class, people is really deep. This right tackle class is very deep. There's a lot of options. That's why I'm very comfortable, like me and Chris said, moving on from Wiley. There's a lot of young tackles in this class. There's three names I would ask for people to keep eyes on. Matt Bergeron, offensive tackle out of Syracuse. DeJuan Jones, right tackle out of Ohio State. And my last one would be Darnell Wright, right tackle out of Tennessee. All of them, I think, could start day one for us, given the circumstances.
Okay.
Some are better run blockers than others. Some have more athleticism. And I'll probably break more of them down when we get closer to combine and pro days and stuff. But those would be the three guys I like the most right now as far as, like, in the general sense. My spicy take, I don't know if Chris wants to do it now. I could do it later. I don't know if he wants me to do it.
What's your spicy take? Let's hear it.
My spicy take is, and some fans may hate me. They may blow up my mentions. Don't hit my DMs, please. Unless just be nice about it, at least. My spicy take would be, if I'm sitting there in front of Union Station and the weather is perfect, Chris, I'm talking pristine, like 65 degrees, a slight breeze. All the NFL fans are there. Most importantly, Chiefs Kingdom rocking this beautiful Super Bowl gear we'll be wearing. But if we're sitting there and we get down to the 20th to 21st pick, Chris, and these two receivers, one of them's available off the board, either Jordan Addison out of USC or Jaxon Smith-Njigba out of Ohio State. If one of those two guys is sitting there at 21, I'm not saying we should do it, but if I'm Beach, I would put a bug in his ear like, hey, if you want to move up from 31 to 21 like you did last year when we moved up to get Trent, and one of these guys is still sitting there, there's a lot of depth in this class for edge rushers and tackles, like I just mentioned. Uh-huh. If you can get a receiver for the future to build around, and honestly, before the season, I didn't think either one of those guys were going to be available because I thought they were both top 15 picks. But given the circumstances, there's been a lot of draft boards. I've seen those guys falling even past 21, past 22. If either one of those guys are available at 20 to 21, I would not mind Beach trading up and going to get them. I'm not lying. That's my spicy take for the draft coming up this year. That's my one crazy take for some people.
Man, hey, and those Ohio State wide receivers are starting to build up a nice little
credibility there. Wilson.
So, you know, I'm not mad about it either. You know what I like about this draft is, so you just talked a lot about tackles and DNs, and that's kind of like where most Chiefs fans, I think, have the Chiefs going early.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can just take the best. This team has enough star powers, you know, quality starters at every level, regardless of what happens in free agency. You feel really good that you can kind of take best available or do that move that if there's a player you really like that's a few spots ahead and a wide receiver, and, you know, Juju and McColl didn't come back. You know, we already know they didn't come back at that point. Trade a couple picks. Go get your guy. Like, facts. you're not so desperate at any one position for the first time in what feels like years as a Chiefs fan.
Facts.
Like, go get your guy. If you have to sacrifice some picks, maybe even a couple future picks, whatever the case may be. I don't think it's spicy at all, man. I love having a fun new toy. The only thing is, you know, rookie wide receivers historically, not just in Kansas City, historically with Andy Reid, have always, you know, kind of been introduced slowly, and with Sky and Tony and MVS, like, that's my only caution. But I like it, man. I like going for it.
There's some other guys that I think people could probably keep an eye out for. A local guy, Kansas City guy, edge out of K-State, Felix Anunduke. I know he's a big guy that everyone knows him around. He went to Lee Summit High School. Obviously, everyone knows him. He's from the area, played at K-State, played really well towards the end of the season. So that's a guy that people keep an eye out for. Some other names that people should like: Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah. Never too early to look at another tight end for Travis.
What about the Sam Laporta kid? I've seen his name thrown out a lot.
Heard him
tight end. Tight end out of Iowa. Do you like him, or do you have a preference?
I've seen the tape on him. I like him. I think the guy that we would probably go to would probably be more Kincaid. I like that Sam kid. If he's available, like on day two, I wouldn't mind. Yeah. But I think if we're looking at a tight end early, I think Dalton Kincaid may be the guy they like a little more. But there are some other tight ends I like in his class. Obviously, we all know Michael Mayer is the number one tight end and prospect in this class in 2023. He's probably going to be gone by like the 15th or 18th pick. He's the best tight end in this class for a reason. But no, I like that Sam kid, and I like Dalton. Those are probably the two other guys I like as well. And there's some other positions of need that we could probably get. Some people want to say we can double down on corner because there's
– yeah.
And there's another spicy take. It's not my take. I'm just repeating what I've been told. There's some people – Chris, don't yell at me. I think you saw this. Actually, I think you retweeted it. There's some people who are on the side of, hey – if we do legitimately need that left tackle replacement, if we don't want to give Orlando the bag, that right tackle replacement, is it crazy to think, could we, hypothetically speaking,
I've already talked about this.
Me and you have said it, but for the fans, so they can engage with us, if we wanted to trade, now don't cuss me out, trade L'Jarius Sneed and get
him back, out.
And then legitimately find, if we can do that and then go up and get that legit left tackle and draft more DBs, because what position has Veach hit on in the draft, Chris?
It's corner, man.
We hit on corners. I'm not trying to say Sneed doesn't deserve his money. I want L'Jarius to stay. And I'm not trying to say he's going to be the highest paid corner in the league, because I don't think any Chiefs fan would think he is, because he's very good, but I don't think he's the best corner in football. I don't think he should be paid like that. But at the same time, we know how the market comes. When you're the next in line to get paid, you're going to be the highest guy just because you're next in line. That's just how the market works for positions. So if we could get Sneed off the books now and get picks in return and go get that legit left tackle, save money off him, and get Orlando off the books as well, now you have all this cap space, Chris, to do, and you have these picks to do whatever you want. You just gathered them to go get that left tackle, go get that receiver you like, go get that right tackle you like, or that edge rusher. You have more flexibility. And I'm not trying to say, just a disclaimer, I'm not trying to say Sneed should go. I want him to stay. Could we have to pay him next year? He has one more year left on his deal. After him is going to be Nick Bolton. So there's always going to be a guy in line who We have a lot of good young talent on this football team, but we have to think about the future and have these uncomfortable conversations. I want Legarius and Snead. I love Snead just as much as anyone, but we do have to think about the future.
Dude, again, you're preaching to the choir because I've been on this since the conference championship game. It came up. Like,
it's just business, business.
When I tweeted out 2 or 3 weeks ago about it, I had people saying, oh, the offseason's here, asking me if I was high. And I was like, I'm not saying that he's a priority to trade. I'm not saying you'd be like, how can I get Snead off this roster? If the first two dominoes fall, and I'm going to keep coming back to this because those are the main points. If OBJ and Chris Jones get paid a lot and you're looking at the future and you're like, hey, Veacher's like, I do not plan on extending Legarius Snead. The money's not there. I bring in corners well. Then trade them this year.
Hey,
if you look at the books and you're like, I want Legarius here, extend him. Like, yeah. I'm not saying like there's a clear cut option on here. I'm just saying like that's a trick to have.
It's an honest conversation. There's no down talk on LJ. LJ's a dog. He deserves his money. But these are when you have so many good players on your roster, you have to have uncomfortable conversations. Some guys, everybody can't come back. I know we all want these guys back. Trust me, I do as much as anyone. But there's a cap for a reason. You have to deal with these numbers and. Veach is going to be in there crunching them up. And hopefully, and I think at this time next year, there will be a conversation about Snead. Like, hey, what kind of money would you want, obviously, to come back? And obviously, I think he would be paid around like a top 10-ish corner. I don't think he would be like a top three corner, like top three in the league. Yeah, he would get respectable money. But I don't think anyone in Chiefs Kingdom would say, yeah, he should be the highest paid corner in football. He's good. He's really good for what he does in his role. But I don't think you could put him in that top three, top five corners in football. He's very good. I think top 10-ish. Is good for his pay range when that time comes. Like, if he has another great year this year, Chris, like all pro, second team all pro, then yeah, you give him his money. He earned it. But at the same time, if other guys step up, we know he's missed games at times, and we played well in the AFC Championship game without him. I'm just playing devil's advocate in this situation. I'm not trying to say we should do it, but these are just conversations you have to have. Everybody can't come back. So it's tough decisions when you're a GM. Everybody has to have these sit-down talks with their agent and see, hey, how much money can we legitimately get, or can we get more elsewhere? So.
Right, exactly. It's anyone that's saying, most people saying that aren't being like, just trade them. No, there's got to be a reason to. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like you were saying, Marcus Peters was a year older, a year older, and the Chiefs traded him the same time that he was in contracts with Snead is, and got a second and fourth.
Yep.
Now, Snead does not have the defensive rookie of the year and the interception numbers that Marcus Peters had when they traded him. But it's 5 years later, 5 years later. So the NFL shifted a little bit more to corner heavy, and Snead comes with more versatility and less baggage.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely!
Like the baggage that was coming with Marcus Peters, and he still got a second and fourth. So I'm not saying Snead could get a second and fourth, but I'm saying that's a starting point where I would, you know, I'd look at those two and feel like I could get a very similar kind of trade and like getting an extra second. You know, and being able to use that to trade up or trade for another tackle or whatever you feel deficiency they feel at, something to consider.
It's a conversation to be had. There's a lot of tough talks we're going to have to do these next couple of years, Chief Kingdom. We want to get all these guys paid. We want to keep winning championships. We have to continue to hit in the draft, and Veach has done a great job the last 2 years, and you want to continue to see guys develop. But, yeah, everybody can't come back. We have to have these tough conversations. So, shout out to Chris. Chris is the one that put that bug in my ear. Well, you did that like, what, week five, week six? That was early in the season.
I mentioned it briefly very early, but I wasn't serious about it. And then once the AFC Championship game hit and I saw how well they played, I just like kind of ran with it the last month. Facts.
And I thought about it as the season went on. Like, how well do we really play without Snead? And like you said, in that game, we made plays. And the guys killed. And like, and the transactions and the history shows on the receipts when V drafts a DB, they usually plan out and develop pretty well. So that's the one position of value you can afford to let guys go because V just shown he can hit on guys. Like if we find another good DB this year and we rotate him in and find somebody to possibly do a similar type of thing that LJ does for us, it's not out of the conversation. So it's just something to keep an eye out.
Just to put a bow on this, do you have any corners that you like in the draft, you know, in the second, third, fourth round if, you know, the Chiefs need to go that route?
Overall, some of the corners I like, one of my top guys would be Clark Phillips out of Utah.
Okay. Is he a bigger guy or what kind of frames?
I like more like a Trent McDuffie size, but he's very physical.
Physical as well. Physical but smaller. Gotcha.
Another guy I like would be, these are guys that are probably a little bigger, Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State. And Eli Ricks out of Alabama. Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois could be the guy that could do those Legarius Sneed type things. I've watched the tape on him. Play the middle of the field, play slot, can blitz a little bit. And I've seen a lot of the kind of analysts and guys on Twitter starting to get his name out here this week as we get ready for the combine this week, this upcoming weekend, the end of the weekend, to see guys test well. He will be a guy I'll keep an eye out for. Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois. That would be a guy.
Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois. Definitely a name to keep on. Do you have any other draft talk you want to get to, or are –
We can do it in an hour.
We're going to wait until maybe we get a little closer. A few free agents, a few moves happen, and we can really dive.
Somebody's going to run a crazy 40. Somebody's going to jump a crazy broad jump. I'm sure Chris has plenty to talk about. So,
Really dive into it, but just kind of wanted to hit a quick, you know, reset on the offseason, kind of where the Chiefs are at and some things that could potentially happen.
Absolutely.
And if I haven't said it once,
it feels good talking about the offseason knowing you're the champ.
Especially when you're the champ. Yeah, it feels much better. You know, there's teams been talking about the offseason for almost 2 months at this point. So, you know, it feels good to finally join that crowd with the ring coming.
We've been celebrating, you know. We've just been having fun outside. So, we can finally start focusing in. You know, Andy said we're locked in. So, we're trying to get ready to get the next one, man.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. All right, CJ, hey, as we get out of here, where can the good people find you?
Y'all know my slogan, man. Chris, where's the draft at? It's at Union Station, man. We said it for the parade. I'm saying it again now. Bro, okay, no, legitimately, you can find me on Twitter.
2 months out. You're already saying you got to be there.
It's never too early to think about the future, man.
Oh, my God.
But no, you guys can find me on Twitter at CGZ81, that's CJEEZY81. Definitely have any Twitter, if you have any questions. You want to hit my DMs, my ads are open. If you want to ask about the draft, free agency talk, you want to talk X's and O's, I'm always down to talk football. But, yeah, most definitely, I would definitely give out people my word of advice. If you are coming to the draft, I would start to look at those hotels and flights now, because obviously the new Kansas City airport is debuting tomorrow on Tuesday. We're recording this episode on Monday, so that's a great thing to see for the city. It looks so dope. It looks new. It's open. A lot of restaurants,
local restaurants, awesome.
Which is even dope. So that's such cool to see for the city. We have a lot of things going on in Kansas City. We have the men's basketball tournament for the Big 12, the women's basketball tournament for the Big 12. We have the Elite Eight in Kansas City as well. We've had that since 2018, I believe. So a lot of things are happening in Kansas City. So if you do plan on coming to the draft, I would highly, highly, highly suggest to get those hotels and flights booked as soon as possible, because the prices are definitely going to go up.
For sure, definitely, if they haven't already. But
absolutely.
And for me, you can follow me on Twitter at TenPenny88, always talking about something sports related. I will warn you, I do throw some baseball stuff out there for those Royals, who aren't baby, about Royals. Life, but, you know, someone's got to do it, right? And also, hey, check out the Aftermath page, Aftermath_KC. I'm going to be periodically throwing videos and stuff as the off season allows it. And also with these episodes, you know, we were doing it weekly religiously during the season. We may be more of an every other week kind of thing right now, unless some big news drops or whatever, just to kind of keep the content fresh, keep the conversation fresh, and not just talking about the same, you know, the 222nd prospect out of Alabama State going to the Chiefs. You know, we could do that, but I don't know how well you guys want to hear that. So, but as always, we really appreciate you guys listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
We the champs, baby. Go Chiefs.